10 minutes later, he was in a Numa vehicle driving through the quiet streets of Washington. He took the highway to Washington National Airport, where the guard at the gate of a restricted area checked his ID and directed Austin to a hangar in a far corner of the airfield. He could see the glow of lights and easily made his way to where a Boeing 747 jumbo jet was parked on the tarmac. Floodlights set up on stands ringed the huge plane and turned night into day. The plane was surrounded by drums of electrical cable and stacks of aluminum and steel. Workers crawled in and out of the plane like ants on a candy bar. Zavala sat under the lofty tail of the plane at a makeshift table assembled from a sheet of plywood and a couple of sawhorses. He was going over blueprints with a man dressed in coveralls. He excused himself when he saw Austin and came over to greet him. "It's not as bad as it looks," he said. "How long before the bird is ready to fly?" Austin said. "We've had a few glitches, but all the stuff is here. It's mostly a matter of fitting everything in and connecting it. 72 hours should do it." "How about tomorrow morning?" Austin said. Zavala smiled. "You should get a slot on Comedy Central." "Unfortunately, there's nothing comic about the news I just received from Paul." He told Zavala about the missing liner. "Could you assemble the rest of the setup while we're in the air?" Zavala winced. "Possible, but not advisable. It would be like trying to stuff a sausage on the run." "What if there's no choice but to try?" Zavala looked at the hectic activity and scratched his head. "I never could resist the juicy sausage." At the nose of the plane, Al Hibbett was working away. When Austin approached, Hibbett whipped a plastic covering off a metal and wire construction about 20 feet across. The circular framework that sat in a wooden cradle was shaped like an inverted coolie hat. It was flat on top, with shallow sides coming to a point on the bottom. "Ingenious," Austin said. "It looks like a squashed-down version of the cone antenna. Will it work as well?"
"Better, I hope," Hibbett said.
"That's good, because we revised our schedule. We need everything ready to fly out by tomorrow morning. Can you assemble the final stages while we're in the air?" Hibbett pinched his chin.
"It's not the ideal way to do something this complex, but we can start going down the punch list as soon as we mount the antenna and dome. We better ask Barrett for his opinion."
They climbed a gangway into the 747's vast interior. A line of 16 squat steel cylinders, spaced evenly apart, ran nearly the entire 230-foot length of the airplane's cargo space. A network of cables connected the cylinders and snaked off in dozens of different directions. Barrett was kneeling over a cable between two of the cylinders. He saw Austin and the others and got up to greet them. Austin glanced around at the complex arrangement taking up a good part of the plane's enormous interior.
"Looks like you've got enough power capacity to light up the city of New York."
"Almost. Those dynamos are fed from the plane's engines," Barrett said. "It was a bit of a problem hooking up the power source, but we finally jury-rigged a system that should work okay."
"New power source, new antenna. Is it all going to come together?"
"I think so," Barrett said. "That is, I'm 99% sure, according to the computer models I've done."
Austin shook his head.
"It's that 1% that worries me. Can we do it all by tomorrow morning?"
Barrett chuckled, thinking Austin was joking. Then he noticed the serious expression in Austin's eyes.
"Something going on?"
Austin relayed Trout's account of the mysterious liner. Barrett slammed his fist into his palm.
"I told Triss months ago about my idea of using a single ship to concentrate the transmission. I even gave him the plans for the switch. He said it would take too much time. Guess I shouldn't be surprised he was lying again."
"About that schedule?" Austin said. Barrett's eyes blazed with anger. "We'll be ready." Leaving Barrett to his work, Austin and the others climbed back down the plane's gangway. Austin asked where he could pitch in. Zavala ticked off a short list of last-minute supplies. Austin walked away from the activity where it was quieter and made his phone calls. In every instance, he was told that the material would be delivered quickly. He was walking back to the plane when he saw that Carla had followed him. She had evidently been watching as he made the calls.
"I've got a favor to ask," she said. "I want to go on the plane."
This is the part where the hero says it could be dangerous, Austin said.
I know, but it was also dangerous back on Ivory Island.
Austin hesitated. Neither of us is going anywhere unless we get back to work.
She threw her arms around him and planted a warm kiss on his lips. Austin vowed to devote more time to pleasure after this job was done.